All right, so let's stand and worship together. Thank you for being here this morning. Alex is out this week, so it is John and I at the helm. So you're in for a treat this morning. Sing together.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus is enough for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus is enough. Because the blood of Jesus is enough for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus is enough. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Sing Because the Blood again.
Because the blood of Jesus is enough for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus is enough. Because the blood of Jesus is enough for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus is enough. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Well, good morning. Okay, so this is our meet and greet time, so I want you to meet and greet somebody new. And I just want to say 3G. And if you remember from last night, the G, what the G refers to. Does anybody remember? Pastor Forrest, you're terrible. Just say hello to each other. It'll be fine. Well, let me just read a couple of verses for you from Psalm 16, verses 9 to 11. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. You will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the way of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forever.
continue to worship together with a classic.
Eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Creation of water, earth, and sky. Heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy. Declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. Early in the morning. We'll celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe
universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. Precious Lord, reveal your heart to me. Father, hold me, hold me. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and
earth. Clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down, and every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him. The gates. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him. Sing together, who can stop the Lord?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty God? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? can stop the Lord. Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him.
Let's go to the word, Lord, with a word in prayer. Bow with me, please. Lord, I just thank you for this time, that in these moments you have just shown us who you are through these words, that you not only are powerful as a lion, but also you're tenderhearted like a lamb. And I just thank you for both those aspects of who you are, and that you lean towards us in your love, and through your Son allowed us to have a relationship with you. I pray in this time, as we continue to worship together, that you would make our hearts tender and incline them towards you. Allow the words with which Forrest is going to deliver your word and your truth, allow them to resonate in our hearts, not just to linger in our heads and to go out one ear the minute we leave these doors, but to really saturate in our hearts and attune you more into loving you for who you are. I pray all these things in the name of your Son and by your Spirit. Amen.
Several years ago, I had an opportunity to visit with an aunt who was dying of cancer, and she was one of my favorite aunts. I loved all my aunts, so when I say favorite, I'm not saying one was better than the other. I really enjoyed her presence. I remember when I was a kid, I had my parents dropped us off at their place, and we were going fishing. And so we went out on a dock. They live close to a lake called Sister Lake, and so we went out on the dock and were fishing, and I got sick. And I just remember my aunt taking me back to the house, her house, who lived just down the street, and had 7-Up. And that was the thing that made everything better, or made the situation better for me. So I had a very loving orientation to her. And when she was dying, then I went to go see her. And it was a little surreal, because I was in the same house that she was at that I remember being in as a kid, you know, when she took me there. And so it was kind of strange. I mean, it was just weird. It was a weird experience. But she was dying, and she was in a lot of pain, and so I just tried to talk to her about things that were comforting, things that I thought she would want to talk about. And we talked a little bit about family, and talked about memories, and other relatives that we both knew, and we just talked a little bit. But she really wanted to spend the most of her time talking about heaven. That was the place, that was the subject that she wanted to spend the most of her time talking about, was heaven. And so I did best as I could, and we talked a little bit about it. She said all the things that she was looking for were two. And the reality is that for her, there wasn't much left here that she was looking forward to. She was in a lot of pain, and the doctors had not given her any hope that things were going to improve. She was just on her path towards death. And so we talked a little bit about, you know, what to expect and what she was looking forward to and who she was looking forward to seeing and various things like that. And it was an interesting time. And as I left that time and I walked back out to the car, I remember thinking that the reality is that we know so very little about what believers are doing right now. We don't know a lot about what are the people who have died, my aunt and others, what are they doing right now? And part of the reason why we don't know a lot about what they're doing is because of the nature of death. It's very difficult for us to talk about death. It's not a topic that people like to talk about. And so pastors are as guilty of this as anybody. Pastors don't talk a lot about death because it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to think about your death or uncomfortable to think about somebody else's death. It's an uncomfortable topic to talk about. And in addition to that, the reality is that for many of us, the most that we've ever learned about what happens to believers after they die, we've learned from funerals. We've learned from going to funerals and hearing eulogies or hearing pastors talk at a funeral about what is going on. But the reality is that's not a really good time to learn theology. It's a rough time. It's a lot of emotion that's going on. And so that's not a good time to talk about it. And so as a result, we don't know a lot. There's a lot of information out there, but we don't really think about it that much. We don't process it that well. We oftentimes don't think about what are our loved ones doing. Like right now, where are they? What are they doing? And if we might have that question, we're not sure. Like, where are they? And the more important question might be for us is, what will we be doing after we die? Where will we be? What will we be doing? And so this morning, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, we're going to look at this concept, and we're going to ask this question, what are the believers who have died doing right now? What are the believers who have died, what are they doing? And we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the second half of the book really talks about the things that that the believers there in Thessalonica are supposed to be doing, the things that they're supposed to be focusing on, the things they're supposed to be doing. And the last verse that we'll look at this morning gives us an indication of something that we should be doing. We're going to encourage each other, and we'll talk about that as we get there. But what the question that I want us to ask and I want us to answer is, what are the believers that have died, what are they doing right now? And so as we look at verses 13 to 18, we're going to see a couple of things that the believers are doing. First of all, the believers are with him. They are with the Lord. And we're going to talk about that and what that all means. Then we're going to see that they're waiting for their new bodies. They're in a waiting. They're waiting for their new bodies. And the last thing that we're going to see is that they're waiting for us. There is a sense in which they are waiting for us to get there. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, and there's a couple of different things that we're going to see, and we're going to run into in this first section. We are going to run into the idea of something that is hard to navigate with, and that is that Paul and Silvanus and Timothy call death being asleep. It's a euphemism. And unfortunately, some people have taken that a little too far and think that he's talking about something else. So what I'm going to do this morning is, when we're talking about believers who have died, I'm not going to use any terms to make that easier. I'm going to talk about believers who have died so we can keep our terms straight. I think that'll be helpful as we go along. But the first thing is, what are believers who have died? What are they doing right now? And the first thing is, they are with him. Look with me at verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters. So the Holy Spirit is writing through Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, and he's writing to the believers here in Thessalonica, and he's saying, guys, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to not know the information. There's information that will be helpful for you, but I don't want you to not know it. And the reason he doesn't want them to not know it, or what the topic, we'll talk about the reason in a second, says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep. This is a terminology. It's an easier terminology to talk about. It's an easier terminology to hear, but it's talking about people who have died. It says, we don't want you to be uninformed about people who have died. And here's the reason. So that you will not grieve as indeed the rest of humanity do who have no hope. See, the reason why this communication is coming to these believers is because they don't want them to be uninformed. Don't want them to not know the knowledge that they need, because if that happens, they're going to feel like they have no hope. And that is also a very good reason why we need this information as well, so that we will have hope. And he said, we don't want you to grieve the death of your loved ones because, or like somebody who has no hope, just because you don't have the right information. So he says, let's talk about the right information. Look with me at verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, so they're talking, hearkening back to the time period when Jesus was crucified. He was laid in a tomb for 3 days, and he was physically raised back to life. It wasn't just his spirit floating around. His body was raised back to life, and he walked out of the tomb, and he saw people, he talked to people, he interacted with people with a physical body. That'll become important here shortly. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, so also God will bring with him, talking about Jesus, those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. And what this is referring to is the time period at some point in the future that's prophesied in the book of Acts, chapter 1, when Jesus will come back in the clouds. And when that happens, he will bring with him all of the believers who have died. Now, they are not going to be in physical bodies. He will. He does. He is. They do not have physical bodies. They are going to come back with him. And the important part about these two verses is the understanding and the explanation that the believers who have died are with God. They are with Jesus and with the Father. They are not by themselves. They are not alone. They are with him. A number of years ago, Lisa had to have her gallbladder out, and it was during COVID. And that was a really difficult time. The surgery was a really difficult time because I took her to the emergency room, and they took her back. She was in a lot of pain, and I couldn't go back with her. I had to go out to the car. So I went out to the car and I just waited. It was a very, very difficult time because there was that separation. They did some tests and they said, yep, gallbladder needs to come out. So they took her back for surgery and they allowed me to come back into the hospital. But I came into the hospital into a waiting room and I was by myself. There was no other patients or no other people waiting for anybody to do surgery there. I was all by myself. There was not even like an attendant or somebody that was there to answer questions. It was a big open room and there was no one around. And so I'm sitting here thinking about this surgery that Lisa is going through, and I started to freak out. And I'm kind of embarrassed about it because everyone's like, it's a gallbladder surgery. It's not that big of a deal. They do hundreds of them a day. It's not that big of a deal. But I started to freak out, and I actually started crying. I'm like in this room. Nobody saw me, so I'm telling you this story now. But nobody saw me. There was nobody here. But I was so freaking out because I was like, what happens if something bad happens during the surgery? And I just was freaking out. And I finally called a friend, and I said, hey, you know, this is what's going on. I'm kind of freaking out. And he's like, dude, chill out. Not that big of a deal. Gallbladder surgeries happen all the time. It's nothing to be overly concerned about. And he settled me down. But that's, for me, being alone in a difficult time is scary. And for many people, they see that as well. And that's why this explanation is so helpful. is because it's saying, hey, when a person who is a believer dies, they are not by themselves. They are not just not awake. They're not just sleeping, which is the theology some people get out of that euphemism. And that's not true. They are in the presence of the Lord. They are with Jesus. They are with the Father instantly. They are not alone. So believers who have died are in the presence of the Lord now. And when Jesus returns, they will come back with him. They will be with him. The important thing, or the idea that I want to just help you hammer that in, is I want you to think that right now the believers who have died are experiencing something called a watch party. You may have heard this term before. It's kind of a current term. It talks about how there's a party and everybody's kind of watching something. Okay? And what I want to challenge you with, or I want you to think about, is that the believers who have died are with Jesus. They are with the Father, and they may be doing something like a watch party. Now, this is the part where it's not in the Bible. I'm just guessing, or I'm just coming up with an idea that I think is what's happening. I think what's happening is these believers are with Jesus, and they're with God, and they're watching how God is working in people's lives here on earth. They're watching that. In my mind, I kind of envision this situation where the Lord is working in somebody's life, and somebody starts to rebel, and they go the wrong direction, and they're doing something wrong. And like everybody in the crowd is like, oh, you know, it's like everybody's watching. They're like, oh, no. And then maybe the Lord's working in their life, and they're doing something good, or they're making a good decision, and the whole group is cheering. You know, that's not biblical. That's not the idea. So I'm not trying to say I know for sure that's what's happening. But I'm trying to push our imagination a little bit to understand that when a person who's a believer has died, they're not alone. They're not living in a place or out in the universe somewhere just floating. They're not. They are with Jesus, and they are with the Father. And when Jesus returns, they will come back with him. Believers who have died are with him. The second thing that we see is that they are waiting for new bodies. Believers who have died are waiting for new bodies. Look with me at verse 15 and 16. It says this, "For we say this to you by the word of the Lord." It's kind of a stamp of authority. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are under the inspiration of the Scripture, of the Holy Spirit, are writing these words, and we're saying, we're telling you this by the authority of the Lord. This is true. That we who are alive, the believers who are on the earth, who have not yet physically died, will remain, who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, who are alive at the time period when Jesus comes back. We will not precede those who have fallen asleep. We will not precede those who have already died. Now, this is a little bit of a tricky thing to think about, because you're like, okay, we're not going to go up before the people that are already there. Well, yeah, because they're already there. They are already there. But there's something that isn't, and that is their physical bodies. So what's going to happen when Jesus comes back with their spirit? Their bodies are going to be resurrected. Their brand new bodies are going to be resurrected up before ours, the people that are living. And then ours will be resurrected, and we will go up as well. And so we won't beat them to their new bodies. We will be right behind them. And verse 16 says this, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God." That'll be a big procession. Everybody will know what's going on. "And the dead in Christ," the people who have already died, who have been separated from their bodies, "will rise first," just like Jesus did with his body. And what's important to realize here is that those believers who have died will be resurrected in their new bodies. And we, the people that are still alive and who are believers, will join them with our new bodies as well. And all in all, what these verses are teaching us is those who have died, who are believers, are waiting for their new bodies. They are waiting for their new bodies. They know those bodies are coming. They know that they are coming, that is an end, that is something that's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. And so they're in this time of waiting. We are suspicious oftentimes about this concept of having an out-of-body experience. It's a little bit strange. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to talk to somebody who has claimed to have an out-of-body experience, but it's a little bit suspicious. We can be suspicious of that. I've talked with individuals before who said that their body remained in a certain location and their spirit went somewhere else. Maybe that did happen, maybe it didn't, I don't know. I know, but it's a little bit suspicious. We're kind of like, not so sure about that. Are you sure you really went to Alaska? I mean, your body's here, because we are oriented to the understanding that our body as well as our soul inhabit the same space. They don't separate from each other. We don't see that. We don't think that's kind of strange if somebody tells us that. But this is different. The believers who have died, their bodies remain here on earth. They either go into the ground or they're cremated, and their body degenerates. Their body turns back to dust. And they are separated. They are having an extended out-of-body experience. It won't be forever, but it will be for a time. And so they are having that out-of-body experience. The believers who have died are in the Lord's presence, and they're waiting for their new bodies. Now, I just want to challenge you to think a little bit about it. I know as I'm getting older, and as my body is starting to not be able to do some things that it used to do, I start longing for my new body. I'm longing for the day when I'll have a brand new body that will be perfect and allow me to do all the things that I want to do. But as I get older, I'm reminded again, this one's not going to last forever. I'm getting older. Things are slowing down. I'm not able to do as much as I wanted to do. But imagine for a minute what it is like for those believers who have died. They don't have a body at all. Some of them have been waiting for thousands of years. They're waiting to be reunited with their new body. And so they are in this place of waiting, longing for, expecting their new bodies. So what are the believers who have died? What are they doing? The first thing is they're with Jesus. They are with the Lord. Second of all, they're waiting for their new bodies. And the last thing that we're going to see in verses 17 and 18 is that they are waiting for us. Look with me at verse 17. Then we who are alive, who remain, those who have not died before Jesus comes back, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up. They will get their new bodies and they will be up with Jesus, and we'll be coming up next with our new bodies. But then there's a very important adverb here. We will be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, this is something that people often miss, because when they think about this event happening, they think they are going to be raptured up to be with Jesus forever, which is true. But there's an aspect here that is clear as day that we often look over, and that we are going to be doing that together with those who have already died. We'll be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. From that point on, we will be with the Lord for eternity, those who are believers. And then in verse 18 comes the one imperative in the whole section. It says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Encourage and comfort those around you with these words, that from that day forward, we will be with the Lord forever. It's an important, I think it's an important thing to remember for, it's an important for us to remember. It's important for us to grasp the concept of the fact that the Lord is raised, going to raise up the believers with those who have already died, and together they are going to be with the Lord forever. Yesterday, I was at the airport, on Friday, I was at the airport waiting to pick up Autumn and Mark as their plane was coming in. And I always get there early, so I was just standing there watching people, people watching, and there was a Jeep in front of me just waiting to pick somebody up, and a Down syndrome boy jumped out of the car and came running past and jumped into the arms of what appeared to be his older sister. And it was just a wonderful, she hugged him, just long time hugged him, and they had a wonderful embrace. And it was just a warm, it was one of those cool moments. You know, it was like, that was great. And so he jumped down and grabbed her luggage and put it away. And it was just a, it was a really a beautiful, beautiful moment. And it just reminded me, and hopefully it was a reminder to you, that when we've been separated from someone for a while, when we've been separated by distance or by time from somebody for a while, many of us, what we want to do is we want to jump into their arms. We want to embrace them and say, I've missed you. It's so wonderful to see you. And that's the beautiful thing about what this verse is talking about will happen, is that the believers who have died, as well as the believers who are resurrected, will have their new bodies. And they will be able to, for the first time since they've been separated, embrace each other. They will be able to hug each other. Let me make this a little more real for you. I want to challenge you. I want you to think in your own life, who are the top five people that you want to see in that moment? I'm assuming for a second, let's assume for a moment that you are a believer, you have a faith in what Christ has done for you. So you've entered into a personal relationship with God through Christ. And I want you to ask yourself, who are the top five people that you want to see? You'll see everybody. It'll be lots of time. But who are the first five people that you're going to want to see in that moment? List them in your head. At least list a couple. And I want you to think on the other side. The people that we're going to see are also going to have a list as well. There are people, maybe you'll be on somebody's list, I hope I'm on a couple people's list, there'll be some people who are longing to see you. And whether there's an existence of a list that there is not the important part is to give us an understanding of that. This homecoming, this meeting of people, we're going to do that with each other. And we are going to have bodies which we can embrace each other. If the opportunity presents itself, we can embrace each other and welcome each other. And so the last thing I want to say, the last thing we see is that what are the people who have died, the believers who have died, what are they doing? Is they're waiting for us. They're waiting for us to join them. So what are the believers who have died doing? What are the three things that the believers who have died, what they're doing? The first thing is that they're waiting with him. That's an important reminder for us, is that we don't want to think, or we don't want to worry, we don't want to be terrorized by the thought that they might be somewhere by themselves. They're not. They are in the presence of the Lord now. Second of all, what are they doing? They're waiting for their new bodies. Some of them have been waiting a while. Some of them may be waiting only a short time. But they're waiting for their new bodies. And then the other thing, that the third thing we see, is that they are waiting for us. They're waiting for us to make it there. Last week, I gave you a challenge, the 3G challenge. And the 3G challenge was to hug at least three people here on Sunday morning before you leave, and to try to get three hugs in. I tried to warn you, make sure you ask somebody before you hug them. Don't run around and just hug people. You know, make sure you ask them, make sure it's okay, and then to hug them. And the reality is one of the reasons why that is so important and why that is so helpful and why that's such a wonderful thing to do is because the picture of the way that we function as a church here on earth is a representation of what we're going to be doing when we get into the Lord's presence. We're going to be in relationship with other believers. We're going to have an opportunity at some point to embrace each other, whatever that looks like when we get there. And so the challenge for us is even now, let's practice hugging each other. Let's practice warmly embracing each other as we look forward to the day when we will do that with our new bodies in the presence of the Lord. The thing I want to challenge you with as you're going forward is I want to challenge you to begin to say, to have on your tongue these words, we will be with the Lord forever. And it's a tricky thing to say, and this is straight out of the biblical text, and this is the command that was given is to encourage each other, and to encourage each other and to tell each other, we will be with the Lord forever. And there are great opportunities. There are times when that phrase is going to need to be able to be pulled up. If you're visiting with someone, if you're talking to someone, if you're praying with someone, and they're going through a very difficult time, it's going to be helpful to have on your tongue the idea of we are going to be with the Lord forever. And maybe more poignant for us is that at some point in the future, when we are with someone who is dying, who is getting ready to pass from being alive to dying, be a wonderful opportunity for us to ask them, hey, can I hug you? Give them a hug, and then remind them, we are going to be with the Lord forever. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to read a little bit about what we've seen taught in the Bible. Thank you for the opportunity to be encouraged, to be challenged, to think about how we can encourage those around us with the very real and tangible help that we will be with you forever. Lord, I pray that if there is anybody here in this room who is in a spot in their own life where they're not walking with you, maybe have never even started on that journey, that they would be conscious and be motivated to handle that before they leave this building this morning. Lord, we do just thank you for our time together. Thank you for the encouragement from your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would help each of us to be mindful of how to encourage those around us. We love you and we pray all these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
Well, church, as we conclude our service, we have a few announcements, and we're going to begin with the end, which on the back side of your bulletin, and if you don't have a bulletin, I know I say this all the time, but if you could please be sure to grab one, great way to get the information that you might need for this week and the weeks ahead. But on the back side of your bulletin, at the bottom, you can see ways to give to support the ministries of this church. We ask you to please be generous as the Lord leads you. And then on the front side of the bulletin, just a few announcements to be aware of. Volunteers are needed in various ministries. If you have any gifts, any talents, any passions that you could see the Lord using to help serve the church, serve the surrounding community, please be sure to call the church office to inquire of ways to serve, whether on Sunday morning, throughout the week, whatever it might be. As well as there's a foundations class every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. That'll be in room 202, a great way to learn more about your faith, maybe get some answers to some questions you might have about specific issues. And then finally, on November 2nd, there will be a men's breakfast. It'll be from 8 to 9:30 a.m. We'll have a guest speaker, Tyler Wilson. men of the church, please sign up. Please come if you know any other young men, maybe in your community that you might know through whatever avenues. Please be sure to invite them as well. And next, we have a video.
That video. I can watch that video over and over and over and over and again. It just makes me want to praise the Lord and dance. But this morning, at the top of your bulletin, you'll see that today is the official start of our Operation Christmas Child season. For the next few weeks, we'll be collecting boxes. These are the boxes. I'm sure some of you are familiar with these, and maybe it's not. But the boxes are available at the back, and when you go through those doors, the table is all set up. The information inside the box of how to pack and labels and everything that you're going to need is in there. And as you go out and shop for the girl or the boy or both, pray and ask the Lord to guide you of who he would like you to shop for. He already has that little boy or that little girl in mind with your box. So when you bring it back and you fill it, it's wonderful to think about what God will do with your box. As you saw in the video, it goes to the farthest reaches of the earth. And it's amazing. I would love to be able to be there when the boxes are handed out and to watch these children open their boxes in the joy that they'll find. But not only is that, it's a way that the Lord uses to present the gospel to many children around the world. Those children accept Christ, they go home, they tell mom, dad, sisters, brothers, and then they can go out into communities. And so the gospel spreads through your box. God will use your box in a mighty way, just like he did with the little boy who offered up his fish and loaves of bread to the Lord. God uses it mightily. And so just be encouraged. Give it good consideration of whether or not you take one of these boxes home with you today. Also, we are also going to be a drop-off location again this year, as we were last year. And so we'll need volunteers the week of November 18th through the 25th. And there are sign-up sheets in the back as well at the table if you'd like to consider volunteering during that week and be much appreciated. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Gail. Thank you, Ashton. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next week.